a life that's lived under your authority, under your leadership, under your counsel and guidance. That's the life that we pursue, the life that we desire. Thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit to walk with you. May we cooperate with his promptings, his nudges, even sometimes his discipline. That we would be your people, growing and maturing on this journey of life, that day that we look forward to when we will see you face to face will be the most joyous moment and extension into eternity that we can even imagine. We bring our tithes and offerings to you as an expression of our love for you. Receive them in Jesus' name. Amen. In place of the electronic letters on the back wall, you have a tangible piece of paper in your bulletin that you can fill in the blanks if you'd like. It may or may not assist you. That's certainly anything's up to you as far as that goes. Well, 3 weeks ago, as we opened our five-week series in the book of Philippians, I focused our attention on the acquisition of courage. Paul expressed his desire that he would have sufficient courage so that Christ would always be exalted in his body, whether he lived or died. As we keep our hope fixed on Jesus Christ, we will have that sufficient courage to face the challenges that come our way. So whether in life or whether in death, Christ will be honored in our body. Fixing our hope on Jesus Christ gives us courage. And 2 weeks ago, I drew our attention to the pleasure or joy that is ours as we labor for Christ. Paul himself was full of joy in the midst of his loving labor as a servant of Christ. Even while in prison, Paul's focus is clearly on Jesus Christ, resulting in his being filled with joy. Last week, Steve Thomas addressed the challenge that is ours to live blameless and pure lives within a culture that is often hostile toward Christ and the gospel. Today, I want to consider the difference it makes when we live in the reality that our true citizenship is in heaven. So let's talk about citizenship for a moment. Citizenship is about the participation of people in public life. It's about sharing the rights and obligations that ensue from this participation. Citizenship is all about how we relate to one another in a community. More specifically, how we agree to relate through laws and traditions. The word citizenship comes from the Greek word politeuma. Does that sound at all familiar to you? Do you hear the similarity to words like politics, police, polite, polity, etc.? Well, at the root of citizenship is the idea of many. As in many people living in relationship with each other. Polity, P-O-L-I-T-Y, refers to form of government. So we have church polity, which is a general category of church government, how members or citizens of a church agree to relate with one another. Church polity for some churches is congregational rule. For some, the government form is elder rule. The polity of some churches is even the pastor is king. Don't you want that? Huh? Should we all vote in favor of that today? Polity means form of government. Polis, P-O-L-I-S, is the Greek word for city. We most often find polis as the last five letters of city names. Annapolis, the city of Anna. Indianapolis, city of Indiana. Minneapolis, city of Minnesota. So polity is the form of government for a particular city. Polis is Greek for city. That makes police those who enforce the rules of the city or the government. Polites means citizen. Citizen of a city or citizen of a nation. Now, what I hadn't connected before were the words citizen and city. But they come from their city would be a root to citizen. But it makes sense. And then the word politeuma. That means citizenship, which is how a citizen is to conduct himself within the city. Now, the best of my understanding is that Paul borrowed from the Greeks the concept of citizenship and helped his readers to understand what heaven was like. Heaven is where its citizens conduct themselves according to God's government. The form of government in the heavenly city is that God rules. Paul says in verse 20 of our text, Philippians 3, verse 20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven." That statement stands in contrast to those whose citizenship is in earthly things. See, possessions and status can function as gods or lords, dictating our behavior as their citizens. So when Paul says, "But our citizenship is in heaven," he is saying that true followers of Christ willingly, gladly place themselves under the control of Christ rather than under the control of possessions or status or anything else that can determine behavior. Right? Now, you may recall at the trial of Jesus before Pilate, Pilate turns to the crowd and says, "Here is your king." To that, the crowd responds, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" So Paul asks them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And how do the chief priests answer Pilate? They cry out, "We have no king but Caesar." See, the people were declaring their loyalty, their citizenship to Rome. They were saying that they were not citizens of Christ. They refused to be under the rule of Christ. He was not their king. I believe that these Jewish people at least partially understood the essence of Christ. He stood as a fork in the road. Would their first allegiance be to an earthly ruler or government, or would it be to God in the person of Jesus Christ? Now, this kind of heavyweight decision is what faces immigrants to the United States who are considering becoming citizens of the United States. See, immigrants pursuing citizenship must prove their commitment and dedication to our national ideals by renouncing loyalty to their country of birth and swearing allegiance to the United States and its Constitution. It can be a very traumatic event for someone to become a citizen of another country. This provides us with a picture of our being saved. Salvation is the process of being transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That transfer is a transforming process that will eventually turn our lowly bodies to be like Christ's glorious body. The process is similar to an immigrant becoming a citizen. It involves turning away from prior loyalties and committing to new loyalties. Paul describes his personal transformation in Philippians 3. So follow me in your Bibles, if you would, in Philippians chapter 3. So that we're seeing what this becoming kind of like an immigrant to a citizen and what the meaning of citizenship in heaven is all about. Paul says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence." Okay, Paul here is describing two citizenships. A citizenship of the flesh contrasted with a citizenship of the Spirit of God. The latter, citizenship of the Spirit of God, is characterized by worship of God, led by the Spirit of God, an honoring of Jesus Christ, and a refusal to put confidence in the works of the flesh or in human effort. The citizenship Paul is warning his readers of was a citizenship that he once had. He was committed to a legalistic righteousness that relied on his ability to measure up to God's righteous or requirements. Now, he had done a pretty good job. And listen to him in verses 4 and following. He says, "If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless." That was Paul's former citizenship. A citizenship he has now renounced and is warning us about. And Paul describes the trauma of that renouncement beginning in verse 7. "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss." Somehow he's feeling loss, though it's minor compared to the gain. But he's recognizing there's some loss going on here. "Now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish. Why? That I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead." See, Christ has placed before Paul a whole new citizenship where Christ would be the King, the Lord of his life. In order for this transaction to take place, there would need to be a death, similar to what happens with an immigrant who becomes a citizen. You renounce your loyalties to your former country and pledge allegiance to your new country. There needs to be a greater desire to live under the rule of Christ than to live under whatever previous rule you were under. Now, last night I was honored to be able to give the opening prayer at the graduation ceremonies for the Puget Sound Electrical Journeyman Apprenticeship Training Center. The class speaker summarized his experience as learning a whole new language, a whole new way of thinking, When he entered the apprenticeship program, he knew nothing about the life of an electrician. 5 years of schooling and 5 years of on-the-job training turned him into a journeyman electrician. He caught my attention when he highlighted the wisdom of a well-seasoned journeyman who said, "You have had 5 years of training. Now you will need 5 years of transition. Then you will be a journeyman." He also commented that the smartest electrician is the fifth-year apprentice. The dumbest is the first-year journeyman. But he was talking about the transition of really becoming what you have learned to be. Now, one could say that the moment that this man decided to become an electrician, that was the turning point. That was the transition. But practically speaking, the transformation process into journeyman status takes time and commitment. The keynote speaker for last night challenged the graduates with similar counsel. As newly inducted journeyman members of the electrician's trade, they needed to stay on course, be committed for life to keep improving, maintaining the right attitude, and fulfilling their responsibility as citizens, if you would, of the electrician's union. In Paul's words, in verse 12, listen to this. Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind," okay, that's renouncing our previous citizenship, "forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." What is our goal? It is to realize the full benefits and responsibilities of living as citizens of heaven. Life is the transition period. Our transformation will not be complete until we meet our Savior face to face in glory. But until then, we are, in Paul's words, to stand firm in the Lord, placing our full confidence on His righteousness and on His sacrifice on our behalf. Paul says, "I press on, I pursue, I go after the goal with intention, desire, and energy." Now, this goal that I have, this goal that I go after, is one that did not originate with me. It became my goal after the Lord placed it before me, got my attention, and pursued me as though I was His goal. If you catch that, if you understand that, you should stand in awe the remainder of your life. That God would pursue us like we are His goal. That's the kind of love that He has for us. So that the goal that I am going after today, that you're going after today, doesn't originate with us, with you or me. It becomes our goal after the Lord places it before us, gets our attention, having pursued us as His goal. Jesus Christ has not been passive in my life. He has not been passive in your life. He has asserted Himself, has come to us and called us to be citizens of heaven. What Paul indicates in verses 12 and 13 is that Christ's assertive pursuit of me must be responded to with a similar pursuit of Him and the goal that He has for me. Right? That's why Paul says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Neither I nor Christ are to be passive in our relationship. It's very much like a marriage. Just as a marriage is 100% commitment from both the husband and the wife to each other, so our Christian walk is 100% commitment both by Christ to us and by us to Christ. It is not a 50-50 relationship. It's not even a 90-10 relationship. Just as Christ is fully committed to our relationship, so we are to be committed as well. Verse 15. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on one or on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our bodies, our lowly bodies, so that they will be like His glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friend. See, God is working in us and is motivating us with the power and the presence of His Holy Spirit. But He does not take away our responsibility to engage in the pursuit of the goal that He has placed before us and to which we have wholeheartedly committed. God calls us to full citizenship in heaven. As citizens, we are to enjoy the full rights as citizens, received as a gift from God. And as citizens of heaven, we are also to fulfill our responsibility as citizens by honoring our Lord, worshiping Him, highlighting His glory, and walking with Him in obedience. Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. It is very fitting that we come to our Lord's table this morning. It is here that we are reminded that we would have no citizenship in heaven were it not for Christ's willingness to take our sin upon Himself and become the reconciling agent for us with God. No one else in all history attained the righteousness, the standard that God requires. And thankfully, the one who did, the one who is righteous, the one who did meet the requirement, was also willing to stand in our place and be the righteousness that we could not, so that we could become citizens of heaven. It's that transaction that we come that we remember as we come to the Lord's table this morning. Renouncing our previous citizenship, whether it be our allegiance to things, to someone else, whatever it would be, and now pledging our allegiance to Christ, our Lord, our King, making us citizens of heaven. On the night in which Christ was betrayed, he took bread and broke it and said, "This bread is my body broken for you." And then after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." At the table, we eat of the bread and drink of the cup in remembrance of him. Come when you're ready. We will serve till all who desire to be served are served. Body of Christ broken for you, take and eat. Christ that cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness, take and drink. Go rejoicing in God's peace.